Hey, Brad, so I have a lot of thoughts about the question that you asked, because during that period, while Twitter was camped out on top of what remained of the blogosphere, and to some extent still does, the problem was is that if you were writing for a web audience, as I was continuously, never stopped, then you were coming up against the limits of the distribution systems that people used, which were Twitter, Facebook, Medium, RSS still, and then blogs, and a fair number of others. But those, for me, were the main ones. I wanted my writing to flow through all of those at one time or another. Oh, and Google Reader. You see, RSS and Google Reader are two different things because Google Reader only supported a subset of it and became a very important part of the problem. The problem was is that there was no common denominator amongst all these different systems of what they considered a document. And in fact, if you merged all of the features and limits of the systems together, you came up with nothing. There was no such thing as a document that they would all understand. And, you know, the various components were things like this: titles, links, simple styling, unlimited or length restrictions, the ability to edit, and enclosures for podcasts. I think those are all of them. I became immersed in these things because I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get all this shit to work together. And finally, in 2017, I gave up. And I just said, I'm not going to try to interop with any of them. And now I'm just going to make the blogging work the way I want it to work. And very quickly put together the content management system that I had in 1997. way better than the one I had in 97. Let's be clear about that. But fundamentally the same basic idea that as I was writing the blog, I could decide whether or not an item was short or long, or it was short and became long. I had an editor that could accommodate all those different kinds of changes and allow me to reorder what was on the homepage. And, you know, I could edit it through the day. And then at the end of the day, it would go out by email. Those were the basic features. And then I had all the things that I mentioned before. Unlimited length. Items could have titles or not. I could edit them. I could have enclosures for podcasts. I don't remember. Styling, links, basic stuff. But if you go through the list, for example, Twitter said that initially that posts could only be 140 characters, then there was a character limit of 280. Posts could not have titles. And Google Reader, on the other hand, said posts must have titles. Right there, you've now had an empty set created. You can't do for both. And by the way, this is the explanation for why Twitter could not have RSS feeds for tweets. This is something that pretty much everybody wanted that knew about RSS. It made complete sense, and it would have made possible had it become, you know, well supported by Twitter. It could have created alternate flows. All you would have had to do was produce an RSS output, and you could participate in the same basic platform that Twitter was defining. The problem was is that Google Reader called their RSS feeds errors because they didn't have titles. So what they did was they just repeated the text of the tweet in both places, in the title and in the body. And then Google Reader just dumbly displayed both. And then the users complained about that. And then Twitter, I don't know, internal process. But if I were them, I totally would have given up at that point. Because Google was being Google, the big company that didn't give a shit. That was their brand name. I mean, that was their positioning statement. No, we're Google. We don't give a shit. Whenever I tried to talk to the people at Google Reader, all I got was a lecture about how busy they were and how they didn't have any time to do anything. And the undertone was, we hate our jobs. we got assigned this shit. This is the shit assignment inside Google. By the way, did we mention we have no time? They never fixed the bug that I asked them to fix. And here I was, the guy who created the medium that they were using. I'm sorry to sound boastful, but it's the truth. If they were going to listen to one person, I would have hoped. Maybe they gave me more attention than they gave everybody else, but they never fixed the fundamental problem. And those problems have been replicated in the installed base of feed readers. They all basically took their lead from Google Reader and gradually we're getting out of that hole, but it's now 9 years in and we're still dealing with it. One of the biggest innovations, Brad, that happened here is that Mastodon has RSS feeds and their feeds do not have titles. The items don't have titles because Mastodon toots, like Twitter, don't have titles. So you don't put the title in. And this, I've never talked to these guys. I do know that Manton Reese at micro.blog, who's doing wonderful work there, was an early advocate of Mastodon, and he talked them into doing it the right way. And, you know, I was stand up and cheer. But all the other things there, you know, it wasn't just Google Reader and Twitter, that combination. It was also Facebook. Facebook allowed modifications, which was good. If you posted something through their API to Facebook and you made a change to it, those would flow through and then the users would see the change version, which was a good thing. Twitter API, no such provision. I don't know if Google Reader supported that or not. But Facebook had no titles. You couldn't do links. There was no styling, no enclosures. Just plain old text. I mean, you could have line breaks, but, you know, whatever. Almost unreadable. And the fact that it didn't have links meant that when I was cross-posting to Facebook, when I was writing on my blog, I was reluctant to use links because I knew people reading it on Facebook wouldn't see the links. And like often in English, you say, click here to see blah, blah, blah. And over there, they would, and there would be a link on click here, right? And over there, they would just see click here, but no link. So you can't write that way anymore. And by the way, all these limits and trade-offs and bullshit, they just become additive to the point where as you're writing, you're always thinking about how do you express this so that everybody will understand you. And it's the writing becomes disgustingly bullshit. Writing should flow. And I get into a zone when I'm writing like I am right now when I'm talking to you. And I'm thinking about, you know, five next steps as I'm writing, and you add a bunch of extra bullshit to it, and all of a sudden, I'm not thinking about the thing that I'm writing about. I'm thinking about how do I coax out of this complex, crazy situation of people not listening to each other, and most importantly, never listening to writers. No idea. Never met a writer in their life. All these stupid decisions. That's all they are. They aren't companies being mean or, you know, whatever. They're just being stupid or ignorant, literally ignoring. Hey, that's what ignorant means, right? Okay, so we're not finished yet. There was Medium. Now, Medium comes along and all of the, you know, pundits and politicians all of a sudden start treating Medium like it's the place of record on the internet. Unfortunately, it's a company, a startup, a money-losing startup. It's the worst possible choice for on-the-record writing because it's never going to last. You want on-the-record writing to stay on the record. Well, okay, so everybody's doing this. They're being, in my opinion, idiots. I'm trying to say, don't do that. You're being an idiot. You're going to regret that. Yeah, everybody goes, oh, sure, you're right. What does he know? Anyway, sorry. They had all and everything. It looked great, right? Medium, beautiful editor. It's a breakthrough in a lot of ways. But the one thing you can't do is revise. And so I post something to Medium, and that's it. If I want to make changes to it, I have to go over there and make the changes by hand. Okay, so we may have been liberated here, but only if we can get some kind of an agreement amongst the various platforms as to what a document is. And, you know, I've written a paper about this. It's very short. It says all the things I said. Just support those things and everything's good. We're all going to, and then from here on, let's create a web. As I think you asked the question is, what can we learn from the mistakes we made? We can learn a lot. We can start, for one thing, users not being ignorant of what's in their interest and what's not. You know, they make these protests that are powerless and pointless. And, you know, and yet they won't make any kind of a commitment to services that are designed for them. And so there's no dialogue between developers and users. Users don't put any energy in trying to help developers that want to make software that's for them. I've specifically made this plea. I went to several journalism conferences and said, look, all I want to do is make software for you. Would you work with me on that? And that used to be the kind of question that users jumped on in the 80s and 90s. That's why things moved so quickly then, is because users and developers were in constant contact. And we knew who we were making products for, and we knew what they wanted. I mean, it would get to the point where, this is a great story, Guy Kawasaki, who is an Apple evangelist, the Apple evangelist, it comes to a reception that my company had at, I think it was the St. Francis Hotel in San Francisco. And he hands me a piece of paper, and he said, that came from Jean-Louis Gasset, who is the new vice president or president of products at Apple. I'd never met Jean-Louis Gasset. And so I looked at the list. I'm getting a little emotional. I looked at the list. And I handed it back to Guy. I said, tell him I want to meet him. And the reason I didn't need the list is because the list was the features that every one of my users wanted and were, of course, in the next version of the product because we were so in tune with them and they with us that I knew that this guy was a serious user of my product just from looking at the list. I mean, that's all I needed to know. Now I've got somebody who's really interesting to talk to, because not only is he a user of my product, but he's the guy that's going to be deciding what products Apple does next. Well, why wouldn't, and we became friends. I mean, it was a wonderful time. Very brief period that Apple and developers really did do some stuff together because there were users running the company and seriously interested in making the software better. So really what we need is, and we don't need this from anything close to all the users, Brad. We just need enough users to take an interest in what we're doing and use the products and respond to the new features that we add and ask for more features. It's really all that we need. It's the food that makes our stuff grow. And then what we can do is we can pass back to you guys, listen, if you can help us get these other products to play the game with us, we can give you an order of magnitude more functionality. And it works. Those guys, the other guys, will listen to you where they would not listen to me. I don't think Google would. And by the way, that's the subtext here. Please don't ever let Google take control of a market again. Because, well, I won't stick around for that. I mean, once that happens, you know, if Google were to come in and decide, and this goes for all the others too, it's vulnerable right now. I mean, they all have tried to dominate podcasting, and yeah, none of them can do it. So we're safe there, okay? Podcasting is going to stay open. But right now where we're at, we're dealing with a post-war blogging platform. We've been through World War III, and a lot of it is still here, okay? Don't ever let them take control again. And that what that means is when it starts to happen, make sure that you don't go with them. You go with independent developers that are working in your interest, not Google that's going to ignore you and screw you. And yet, I just simply can't believe that I see Google getting ready to come back into RSS land. And I also see users begging them to do it. And it's like one of the biggest, you know, shaking my head, SMH, I can't fucking believe this, that we're going down that road again? No way. Anyway, I've been talking for 15 minutes, and that's long enough. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.